Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. This is episode number 172. You have tuned in to a very practical preparedness podcast. I don't go tinfoil hat on you. I don't believe in that stuff. I like to keep this rooted in common sense and just kind of talk about everyday ideas because I am an everyday guy. I'm not a survival and preparedness author. I'm not a professional survival and preparedness speaker and so forth. I'm just an everyday guy, as you can probably tell there, because I had to take a phone call while I'm driving down the freeway headed out to a business appointment. So all that business stuff comes first. I'm in sales, folks. I travel around two states, Texas and Louisiana. I'm in the hotel security business. And so that's pretty much what I'm doing, is going out and talking to hotels and motels. Oh, so anyway, I'm a prepper, too. How about that? So let's get back on subject here. I want to talk about discussing preparedness with your kids. And the reason for this podcast is because recently I just kind of had a discussion with my son, and so it gave me the idea to do this podcast. Now, how many of you listening to this have had discussions with your children about common sense, practical survival, and preparedness? I hope all of you. If not, I hope that you do soon. I really believe that preparedness is a family activity. It's a family event and should be treated as such. And a couple of things that I want to share with you that I do, that we do, my wife and I, excuse me, together, because we're a team and we're pretty much all on board with this. I want to share with you what we do. Now, I'm not going to say that there won't be differences of opinion. I'll warn you right up front. You and your spouse may have a difference of opinion in dealing with your kids when it comes to the subject of survival and preparedness. I just want you to think about what's going to happen if there's some kind of a disaster. Your kids need to have a plan of action. They need to have an assignment to do. They need to have something that they're responsible for. Now, you might be thinking, well, at what age, Bob, do we talk to them about that? I don't know. Because I don't know your kids. Every kid matures differently. Every kid has a different mindset about them. You know your children better than I do, obviously. You be the judge as to what age. We started talking to our son about it when he was about 10 years old. So a couple of things that I want to share with you. This might be a little bit shorter podcast than most, but that's okay. This is kind of like a miniature podcast, so to speak. The first point that I want to make is be honest. I think honesty is so important when talking to kids. Not scary, but honest. The way to differentiate, in my opinion, is to tell them the truth about what's happening and then let them come to their own conclusion as to what might happen in the future. That way it's less scary. For example, we recently had the discussion with my son. We talked to him about things like the country is going broke here in the U.S. Now, I know I have international listeners that listen to this podcast from other countries. By the way, thank you for tuning in. But I'm going to keep this kind of United States specific for this episode. And so we've had the discussion with our son, who's now almost 14 years old, about the country's position and how broke the country is, how much in debt that we're in, and how pretty much it's a very fragile existence that we have here in the U.S. right now. And that's the truth. And we basically have explained to him that the way that this country is going on, or the path that we're going on right now, can't be sustained forever. I think probably a lot of you listening to me would probably agree with that, wouldn't you? And we've talked to him about the runaway spending and the massive, massive debt buildup in this country. And we've also told him about the fact that we as a family live debt-free. That's another subject that I'm going to get to shortly. So we basically asked him the question, given the situation that our country is in, what do you think is going to happen? Now, keep in mind, he's 14 years old. And you'd be amazed how perceptive kids are. you'd be amazed. You know, first thing I want to say, or second thing I want to say, is give them credit. Give them credit for being a lot smarter than you might think that they are. Okay? And this is the stuff, folks, they're not going to talk to them about in school either. So this is extracurricular stuff. I can guarantee you that they're not going to get this discussion in school. All right, well, maybe I shouldn't make that guarantee. You never know. One of their teachers might be a prepper. Who knows? But in case one of their teachers is not a prepper, you need to have this discussion. You are the parent, folks. And I really believe if we're going to continue surviving generation after generation, if we're going to produce survivalists that come after us, if we're going to produce the next generation, it starts with you, the parents, folks. They're not going to hear this on TV. They're not going to hear this playing their Xbox 360. They're not going to hear this if they're in school. They might get exposed a little bit to it if they look at survival stuff on the internet, but if they're not, they're going to rely on you, dear old mom and dad, to talk to them about this. So instead of getting scary with my son and telling him, hey, you know what, the whole financial system could blow up and there could be a loss of services and there could be panic and the food supplies could be interrupted and, you know, there could be panic in the streets because the people who are entitled or think that they're entitled to everything that they're getting could start rioting because all of a sudden now their government assistance checks aren't coming and stuff like that. Even though that's probably all reality and it could easily happen, minus the tinfoil hat stuff, I just asked him the question. I asked him, I said, what do you think might happen? Funny thing is, his answer was pretty much what I just told you. He gets it. He gets it. But now it's less scary. You see, but if you start talking about all the negative things that could happen, I mean, if you start talking about nuclear bombs and dirty bombs and the end of the world and EMPs and stuff like that, even though some of that stuff, perhaps the EMP stuff and all that, perhaps that's unlikely. Now, you know, the dirty bombs and stuff, that could be more likely. If you start talking to them about scary weather events and things, sometimes, depending on how young they are or how immature they are, it might get a little frightening. But the funny thing is, it's kind of like a sales technique. If you ask them the question and they give you the answer, now they take ownership of it. And for some reason, it was now their idea. It's not quite as scary. It's just an interesting psychological phenomenon, folks, and it works. So he gets it. The other thing that we do is we regularly get on the internet and we'll watch a lot of different YouTube videos. Now, I typically screen the videos first. I typically look at the video before I ask him to look at it. Now, my son does have his own computer. We do monitor carefully what he looks at on the internet. Okay, he can only use the computer when he's sitting in the room with us. So it's easy to figure out what it is that he's looking at. But if there's a YouTube video or a podcast, and we do listen to other podcasts that are not mine, that I want him to listen to about survival and preparedness, usually me or my wife have either viewed the video or watched it first. Mainly the reason for that, in my opinion, is I want to find out, first of all, if the stuff makes sense. And continuing with my typical no tinfoil hat type theories or mantra, if it's a tinfoil hat-ish type of a movie or podcast, I probably will bypass that one and find one that's more practical for him to listen to. Okay? But surprisingly enough, he gets it. And now, with renewed interest, he likes to keep up on the news and current events. And I think that's so cool. All right, so now let's go to the next step. I think the first thing to get your kids thinking about prepping is to get them thinking about prepping financially. For some reason, it's an interesting phenomenon, but for some reason, what people typically do with their financial life, they typically do with the rest of their life. I find that as I talk to people, those that I can get to share with me stuff about this anyway. I mean, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about their financial life. But it's amazing because sometimes I can put two and two together and I can figure things out. If their financial life is a mess, typically other parts of their life is a mess too. And I'm not saying that the answer to all happiness and all well-being is finances. That's not what I'm saying. But that's a good indicator. How a person handles their money usually is a pretty good indicator of how they handle the rest of their life. It's just one of those things that I can't seem to explain. If you have an explanation for that, I'd love to hear it. But it's true. I find that to be most of the time the case. And if someone preps financially, they typically prep in a lot of other ways. And if someone doesn't, they don't. So we like to teach our kid about financial responsibility. And I'm a big believer in the Dave Ramsey philosophy with kids. Whenever my son earns money or gets allowance money or gets money that's gifted to him, we like for him to have three different envelopes. And we like for him to split it up a third, a third, and a third. And we like him to save a third of what he gets, spend a third of what he gets, and use the other third for prepping and giving. Okay? So if he gets $9, he puts $3 in the save envelope, he puts $3 in the spend envelope, and he puts $3 in the prepping and giving envelope. Now, first of all, understand the concept. You're teaching them to save a third of their income. Wow! Think about that. How many people do you know save a third of what they make? I'll tell you right now, I don't. But what a concept, huh? How much better off would people be if they got in the habit of saving a third of their income? In other words, living on two-thirds. You know, Dave Ramsey says live on about 75 or 80% of your income. And that's about pretty much, we're actually spending about 85%, a little bit more than what I'd like to. But we're spending 85% of what we take in. Hey, oh, wow, isn't that an interesting concept? Ooh, hey, we spend less than we make. Wow, isn't that something that the government should probably learn? Spending less than they make. What a unique concept, huh? But isn't it important to teach kids that? So if you teach them right away to spend only two-thirds of what they make and save a third, now, is that going to continue on in their adult life? Maybe not. But the thing is you're planting a seed early on for them to start saving a substantial portion of their money. Later on in life, when they become adults and they have bills and they have expenses and things like that, maybe the saving will be 10% or 15%. But it's a good virtue for them to learn. Today, still, the average American saves less than 5% of their income. The average American saves less than 5%, and so many people are overspending. Big time. Of course, that's a whole another podcast. I won't get into that at this point. But this kind of philosophy carries over. It starts to teach young people about the concept of saving resources, not just financial resources, but once you start to teach them about storing food and storing water and being conservative in other areas of their preparations. For example, when to buy new stuff and when not to buy new stuff, and when to fix something and when something's not worth fixing. It carries over. It teaches them that basic philosophy of conservation. When you start to teach them that with money, trust me, folks, it just carries over into other areas of their life. So let me encourage you to use that envelope system, the third, third, and a third. And, of course, the third spending envelope, the one-third of the money that he can spend, that's he's free to do with that, whatever he feels like doing. And the one-third that he saves or gives, I think giving is an important thing to teach young people. The concept of giving. I've talked about that a little bit back in episode 169 when I was talking about giving your time. Okay? It's very important as a survivalist, I think, Because, see, survivalism helps you today and it helps you after a disaster. It makes your life better now and it makes your life better if something bad happens. That's the philosophy of most modern day survivalists. All right, so I've covered current events and I've covered finances. My son also has his own bug out bag, his own emergency bag. And by the way, if you encourage or you convince your kids to create their own 72-hour emergency bag or their bug-out bag, if it's equipped for 1 week or 72 hours, whatever time frame you choose, make them pack it. Make them build it. Now, you might say, well, Bob, they're going to forget some things. Yes, they might forget some things. Let them build it first and then go through it with them and see what it is that they might be leaving out. The importance of that is, again, they take ownership. Whenever somebody does it themselves, they tend to take more ownership. Don't pack them a bug-out bag and hand it to them and say, here, this is yours. Son, if there's a disaster, this is yours. You carry this, and this is your responsibility. No. Make him put it together. Make your daughter put her own together. And then help them add to it. I do think it's very important that they have a sense of responsibility. Our son has an assignment. Okay, if we have to get out of the house for some reason, if there's a weather disaster, if there's some kind of a terrorist attack, if there's an evacuation of some kind, for example, his job is to immediately go upstairs, get his bug out bag, and then his job is to go through a small checklist that we've put together for him. Okay, and that checklist is in his closet with his bug out bag. Okay, now, if we've only got a few minutes to get out of there, if there's a fire in the house or we've got to get out now, obviously he's not going to be going upstairs to retrieve his bug out bag if he happens to be nowhere close to it. We've educated him that, hey, if there's a fire in the house, you're getting out. Bug out bag or not, you're getting out of the house. That's our goal, is to get the heck out of here if there's a fire. But if we've got a little bit more time than that, he knows his assignment. It's a very simple assignment. Okay, and especially if for some reason you have to bug out on foot, hopefully that's not the case, but if you have to bug out on foot, having your kid carry their own bug out bag, that's a positive, folks. Number one, it takes some of the weight off of you. You don't have to carry the load for everybody in your entire family, and it gives them a sense of responsibility. The thing you want to avoid with a child is them freaking out if some kind of a disaster happens. And I find that if they take ownership in the whole process of getting ready, there's far less likely that they're going to freak out, because they know in their own minds, folks, hey, we're ready for this, okay? Or we're as ready as we can be for this. And that's all you can ask for, in my opinion. And they're going to be less scared if they know that you and your family are prepared and ready for the situation. So give them a couple of small assignments, write it down on a checklist, and keep it near their bug out bag. Now, another thing that we do that I would suggest is when we store food, whether we're buying food or whether we acquire food or grow it ourselves, it doesn't matter. Our son gets to participate in picking out the food that we store. Again, the reasoning for that is they take ownership of it. First of all, he knows that, hey, we're storing food that he likes to eat. He feels more comfortable about that. He knows that if we have to live off of our food storage, that there's a lot of it in there that he's going to like. And he gets his comfort foods. He gets some of his, Cheetos and potato chips and stuff like that, that we are very careful to rotate, but we store a pretty good amount of stuff like that that he likes to eat, comfort foods, right, that psychologically comfort him. He gets some of those. I think it's important not to deny people that, especially adults, too. Don't deny yourself your comfort foods. A disaster is stressful enough. Have some foods that make you feel good. For me, it's coffee. I got to have my coffee in the morning. Make sure you're storing coffee, folks, if you're a coffee drinker. I got to have my coffee. All right, there's just something wrong with me in the morning if I don't get my coffee. So get your kids involved in the food storage because, again, they take ownership of it. Get them to pick it out when we go to the grocery store. And if I know it's going to be a trip where we're going to be buying some of our food stores, our son gets to come along and pick some of it out. Another thing we do is when he's building his bug out bags, he gets to put a couple of small games in there. Now, try to stay away from the electronic games if you can, because they chew up a lot of battery and power resources. And if some disaster happens where you don't have easy access to power or the power's out for a long time, then a lot of those games are going to be useless once the batteries die. But he's got a couple of card games and things that he likes. So we encourage him to keep some of those in his bug out bag. Things to keep him entertained. And books to keep him entertained. My son happens to like to read. So he gets to put, you know, some books in his bug out bag that he's probably going to like to read. And my son's the kind of kid that likes to read books 3 or 4 times. So even if it's a book that he's already read, he can still get a lot of enjoyment out of rereading it. Me, I have a hard time even reading a book the first time. I'm just not much of a reader. All right, I don't pack books in my bug out bag. Maybe I should, but I don't, because I'm just not much of a reader. Of course, maybe I should. Maybe I'll. This is kind of making me rethink that, because that would actually help me pass the time, forcing myself to read if I'm in a situation where I have to pass the time. Now, I would also suggest that you get your kids involved in helping with the security in your house. There's things that they can do. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to raise your kids or what you should do. That's not my place to do that. I'll just tell you a couple of things that we've done. I've taught my son how to shoot. My son, at age 14, has been shooting since he was 10 years old. I started shooting when I was 9. I got him started when he was 10. So my son's pretty decent with both a handgun and a .22 rifle and with my AR-15. Okay, he's decent. You never know what the situation might be. Maybe you and your spouse are not in the position to be able to shoot back. Maybe your kids can. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh, Bob, I can't believe that. What are you doing, promoting violence? No, I'm not promoting violence. But if there's a situation where your backs are against the wall and somebody's crashing in on you and wants to loot or invade your home, and for some reason, maybe you're incapacitated, maybe you're sick, maybe you're unable to defend a certain part of your property, and you know you're going to be overridden and you're going to be outnumbered if you don't get some help, perhaps a young person in your family can help, but they need to be taught in advance. So we also talk to our son a lot about security and self-defense. My son's also been taking martial arts for 4.5 years. Mixed martial arts. Right now he's focusing on Muay Thai and the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Those are the two disciplines he's focusing on right now. Muay Thai kickboxing and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. He did MMA for 4 years when we were living up in the Dallas area. Now down here in San Antonio, he's pretty much just focusing on those two disciplines. So if it gets into a hand-to-hand situation, even against an adult, he can hold his own, folks. He's pretty good. He's pretty good. He trains with a lot of adults right now anyway. So his martial arts training against adults, he can hold his own. He can hold his own. and that's all I'm going to say about that. You know, someone who's a lot bigger than him can overpower him eventually, but sometimes even if he's just able to buy himself a few extra seconds to be able to get away, that could pay off huge if there's some kind of a self-defense situation. So, teach your kids about that stuff too. Help them get some training in those areas. That's another suggestion that I wanted to give you. Now, my son likes to read. If you have kids that like to read, another suggestion I might throw out at you is to have them put together a survival binder. You know, I've talked a lot about a survival binder. When I had Dan Vamos on here interviewing with me several weeks back from the Homestead Dividends podcast. By the way, you should listen to his show. It's a good show. The Homestead Dividends podcast. When I had him on there, he was talking about, you know, he's got a binder system too. And go back and listen to that episode called Homestead Dividends. He talks about it on that show. You might want to have each child that you have put together their own binder as well. And it can contain a lot of information in there. There could be information that they can read. There could be checklists. There could be reference information. There could be how-to. You can have instruction sheets. All kinds of stuff in there. Things that they can refer to as well. The whole point I'm trying to make here is don't leave your kids out of the process. That your kids can be a huge asset. And again, I find that psychologically, when they take ownership of the prepping process, they're less fearful. They become pretty interested in it, actually. You'd be amazed. Kids are pretty resilient. Don't for a minute think that they're not very resilient, because most of them, they really are. And finally, the last thing I want to talk about is any gardening that you're doing, any growing or raising of your own food. Please make sure you get your kids involved in that. Most kids love that stuff. Most kids get a great deal of satisfaction of putting a seed in the ground, watering it, fertilizing it, nurturing it, and growing some food out of it. Or raising an animal. That's the way I was raised, folks. My mom taught us when I was raised on that little, I call it a hobby farm. You can call it whatever you want. We were not professional farmers, but we farmed. We were self-sufficient. We farmed to feed our family. Okay, so we raised animals and we grew crops when I was a kid, beginning at the age of about 6 until I left home at about 22. That's the way we were raised. So I call it a hobby farm because it was our hobby. It wasn't something that we did professionally. We didn't sell, although we did barter some of the stuff that we raised. But I got heavily involved in that. And my mom assigned portions of our garden to me and my brothers. And that portion of the garden was ours. And we were responsible for growing those vegetables and fruits. Now, my mom and dad, they oversaw it, okay? I mean, they would oversee to make sure that we were doing things correctly, and they would give us helpful hints and things like that, but that was our responsibility. And boy, I tell you what, I took ownership of it. As soon as one of my brothers came into my part of the garden, whoa, that was bad stuff. I was telling my brothers, you get out, this is my part of the garden. And of course, they did the same thing. If I snuck over to my brother's side of the garden and tried to pick some of the beans on his bean plants, whoo, man, he got upset with me. It's that taking ownership factor. So if you're growing some food, canning some food, things like that, get them involved. Give them their own little space with which to grow their stuff. Okay? You'd be amazed what that will do for their psyche as well. So there's a few little tidbits. Again, I said this was going to be kind of a short show. Every once in a while, I just get these ideas that pop into my head, and I think, hey, that might make for a good podcast. And so I put it together and I throw it out there and I record it and put it out there for you like this one. So that's going to pretty much wrap this up, episode 172 here. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Bob Main. This is today's Survival Show. It's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. It strengthens your resolve and it helps you tap into the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. Talk to your kids about this stuff, folks. Get them involved. I think you'll be pleased with the results. Take care. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.